Okay, the Rabbi, today's daf is daf Mem Zayin. This daf is being recorded here in North Miami Beach. We're going to start from Mem Vav Amud Beis, the last line. Tanur Rabbanan. We were learning yesterday about how Rabbi was Mechabed Rav to be Noitzel Yadayim Mayim Achoinim. Rav was Merases, the Gemara said. He was kind of trembling because he thought that Rebbe was being critical of him for either eating too slowly or for having dirty fingers, dirty hands. But in fact, what Rebbe was trying to tell him was, I'm being mechabed you for benching. So since we spoke about the inyan of being mechabed for Nativa Sidayim, Zokti Mor Tanur Rabban, Ein mechabdim lebedrachim lebedksharim. If you're driving a wagon, or today a car, and there's somebody next to you that wants to go on a single lane road or highway, there's no inyan being mechabed one person over the other, neither by drachim nor by ksharim. Say in Mefarshim that this is for very practical reasons, because there are a lot of other cars or wagons or horses behind you, and therefore what's going to happen is you're going to delay things. If you're first in line, just go and don't be mechabed others. The Mefarshim points out, however, if you are going together, two are going out at the same time, in other words, two people both are driving at the same time to the same location, then one could be mechabed the other. If you look at the bottom choices, if you look at the last two lines, the Yishloimik, Yishiyotu, Lederach, Ke'erchod, mechabdim bedrochem. Two friends, brothers, Talmud, Rebbe, whatever, are traveling at the same time, one can be mechabed the other to go first. If two people, just by coincidence, if you will, happen to come to the same corner at the same time, and there's only one lane, then you don't have to give deference to the other person. But if you're first in line, just go ahead, not to delay foot traffic or car traffic, vehicle traffic, etc. And the same thing applies to where your dime is the homeless, when a person's hands are dirty at the end of the meal, you don't have to mechabed the other person to do mayim achronim first. You can go and take mayim achronim yourself. This seems to be a little bit at odds with the story about Rav, because there we said that Rebbe was mechabed Rav to go and be noitzel yadayim first, and we just said now you're not supposed to mechabed someone in the tefillah of mayim achronim. Says Rabbi Yoina and other rishonim that when do we say in this brayse you cannot be mechabed someone for mayim achronim, if it's only mayim achronim. However, if what you're really telling him is, I'm being mechabed you with benching, that of course is fine, that's great. But if you just be mechabed him for mayim achronim, it sounds like you're being mevazeh him, like the Gemara said about Rav, that your hands are dirty, why don't you wash your hands first? I can wait. So that would be improper. Okay, the Gemara tells the story now. Rav and Abayi have a kazi ba'orucha. Rav and Abayi were both traveling. Kadmei chamrei de Ravin lidei Abayi. Ravin's chamor was ahead of Abayi's. Le'omolei nezumah. And Ravin was not mechabed Abayi to go first. Omar. So Abayi said about Ravin, mirasolei kain mirabanim ma'rova. Ever since the time that Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, as you know, the Gemara brings quite frequently, Rav Dimi and Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, and they told over what they heard from Rabbi Yochanan and other Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. The Bayis says, ever since Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Kasle Dati, oh, he became so pompous, he's such a Baal Gaiva, meaning, he should have let me go first. Kimot Lepitzchot Beknishta, when they both parked their wagons or their cars or what have you, and they're coming now to the basic masses together, Omalei, so Ravin said to Abayi, and Neomar, Abayi, please go in first. Omalei, so Abayi said to Ravin, all of a sudden, I become Mar. What about when we were traveling together on the road? Omalei, Hachi, Omar, Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Ravin's now reporting from Rabbi Yochanan there to Sob. Ein mechab na lepesach sheyesh bo mezuzah. Only mechabed when you come to a doorway that has a mezuzah. See, Mar immediately interjects the Islam mezuzah and the Leslam mezuzah. Why? Are you talking about only if there's a mezuzah? What difference does it make if it has a mezuzah or if it doesn't have a mezuzah? For that matter, we're talking about a basic Knesset. and the Beit HaKnesses typically doesn't have a mezuzah. That's what the Gemara said. Kimotol Piska the Beit Knesset, which is the Beit HaKnesses. Zog Gemara Loi. I'm sorry. Elam Tesis Yeshu Mezuzah Vizis from Mezuzah in the Lesh Mezuzah Loi. Elam Yat Beit HaKnesset Beit HaMenish the Lesh from Mezuzah Hachan Amid Eim Mechabed. Are you going to tell me that there is no kibbutz? We just saw now that Robin was Mechabed Abai by Beit HaKnesses. Elam Pshat Tzazay. What we really mean to say is that you are allowed to mechabit when you reach to a home, when you reach to a sha'ar, you reach to a door entrance where there is roi to be a mezuzah, there you can be mechabit. What the Gemara means to say is lehoitzi or lafuke from the case when people are on the road. There is no pesach, a roi lemezuzah, or even a pesach, shein roi lemezuzah. So, when is there a din of being mechabit? You go first. It's only when you're talking about a Pesach of walking in together, being mechabit one over the other. If you're talking about traveling on the road, there is no such inyan of being mechabit. Says the Gemara, "Vayta mivin a breid of Shmuel Bashi that made it out. Ain't a mesuvah neshoy lechol klum achi yitoim. The people that are sitting at a suda should not start eating until achi yitoim habaytseah, meaning." Like, for instance, in Shabbos, you have a Beitzeah who's cutting up the challah, and he's distributing it. So if the Beitzeah eats his piece of challah first, that's kevaldik. This is why he won't be mafsik, and he won't have a hefsik after his bracha before he eats. What happens if the Beitzeah is cutting up the challah and is giving everybody out a piece before he even eats himself? That shows, of course, great etiquette. But the mesubin are not supposed to go and eat before the Beitzeah is toyin. Beitzeah, you put a piece of challah into your mouth first before you distribute it. Or if you have distributed it already before you've been toyin, they should all wait until you take a Safra the Kalmar, Litan Itmar. So if Safra, when he heard this, he said, not Eina Mesum Rishoy Lechol Krum, but Eina Mesum Rishoy Litan Krum. What difference does it make? So the Moshe Chayiv Adam Loimar, the law showing Rabbi. The person should go and repeat it exactly like his Rabbi said. There's really no difference in halacha between litoim or lechol. You're not supposed to litoim or eat before the Beitzeah has taken a piece. But there's an Indian of going saying the Loshon Rabbi so that you're not toer, you say it exactly like your Rabbi said it. So, Rabbi, Shnayim Mamtinim Zeh L'Zeh B'Kaar. When I'm the two people are eating jointly from one plate. We're talking about in the good old days when unfortunately there was a lot of poverty and people didn't have separate plates, and therefore two people ate together from one plate. So, Shnai Mamtinan Zelaza. What happens if one of them decides in the middle of eating he's going to take a drink, for instance, so he's going to go out for a moment? Then the second person should wait for him, because otherwise then he's going to eat more from the car, and that's not right. Both should eat 50-50 from the car. However, if you have three, and then you cannot wait for one of the three. If one of the three wants to go and drink or go out or whatever, the other two don't have to wait. Otherwise, aim the double choice. A meal like that could go on for a long time. Each one takes a break here and there. Like we said before, the person who is Beitzeah, the one that cut up the challah, cut up the bread, he takes first. And it sounds like from this, not only in the challah or in the bread, but since they were mechabed him to be the cutter of the cake, or the cutter of the challah, I should say. So apparently he has rights to eat everything also first. And he should go and get before everybody else gets. Zogti moravaita. Vim bolach lekobo the rabbi, oi la misha gudolim man, oi shes biyobe. Even though he was a beitzeah, if he wants to now share the blessings and mechabed somebody else to go and eat first, on the other food items, that's okay. He can be mechabit. Rabbi Bechana have osik le'levrei bei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Ketina. Rabbi Bechana was marrying off his son to the daughter of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Ketina. Kodna v'yosiv to kamasna le'levrei. His son is going to now be the Rosh HaSeuza, as opposed to today where the Chosin Kala come in and it's already after the Seuza, or in the middle of the Seuza, because they are taking pictures, or they're in the Yichud room, or both. In the good old days, it was the Chosin that would lead the Seuza, and he would go and cut up the challah, cut up the bread. So Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Ketina is now giving his son some basic rules and regulations. son was not in this position until now. Now he is. He's king for a day. He's the melech because he's the chassan. So he told him, "Ein rishoy ein abater rishoy l'soyat sheich la'omei mepihu ayim." After you finish making the bracha, don't start cutting immediately, but wait until people finish saying amen. Because the amen also has a shaykhis to the bracha. It's as if they're still in the middle of the bracha. So wait until the amen is over. Now the word that he said was, "Achiyich la'amen mi pi hu aynim." Afchiz la'amar mi pi roi hu aynim. It doesn't have to be everybody, because you often get one person in the audience who's marech more than reasonable, more than necessary. So as soon as roi va'aynim have entered amen, that's enough. If you're telling me that the Amen is like an extension of the Bracha, so just like by Roiv it's an extension, by me also they haven't finished the Bracha yet. If I say whoever answers a long Amen, he's only saying, because there's no Indian in having long Amens. A normal Amen, but not Yoser Midai. That when a person makes amen, he should not say it chatufa. Chatufa literally means saying it kechat, saying it quickly. Rashi, however, says the word chatufa is related to the word chatuf. Chatuf, in the good old days, in times of Rashi, meant a shva. So when a person says the word amen, he shouldn't say amen, as if under the aleph is a shva, but because under the aleph there, in fact, is a kamat. Although Rashi refers to it as a pasach, when Rashi talks about a chatzif, he means a shva. When he says a pasach, he means a comment. Anyway, so what we're telling you is the person is just saying amen. So where the focus is on the main, and you can hardly even hear the aleph. The amen ketuf is the other way around. You cut off the nun by just saying amen, without putting any emphasis on the nun, so you don't even hear the nun. The amen yisayim. Amen yisayim means that you didn't hear the bracha. You heard everybody else in the audience saying amen, so you join them in saying amen, but you have no idea what they're saying amen to. Also, don't do that. Rashi asked the kasha from the famous Gemara Masech Sukkah, when Alexander Shom Mitzrayim, it was such a huge shul, the people in the back could not hear the chazan at the front, so they had special amen wavers, people that would go and wave sudrim, like towels or like handkerchiefs, so that when it came to the time for amen, everybody would know to say amen. You also didn't know that someone's making an amen. Why is that an amen yisayma? Says Rashi, when is an amen yisayma? When you have no idea what's going on. In Alexandria, they knew exactly what's going on. They just couldn't hear the chazan because they were all the way in the back. So therefore, when they waved the sudra, they knew, oh, now he's up to the third bracha in benching, or the tenth bracha in benching. They knew what was going on. Or it's the first bracha in, the first amen in kaddish. They knew, just they couldn't hear it. And by the waving of the sudrim of the handkerchief, they were able to identify that now is the proper time to say amen. They didn't know what they were saying amen about, so it's not called an amen yisayma. And the Brayta continues, "We use like bracha mipit." A person shouldn't go and just quickly say a bracha without even thinking about what he is saying, because when a person says a bracha quickly, then it's zayma lof kemasa. It looks like it's only a burden, and the reason why he's making a bracha is because he has no choice. He's doing it strictly by rote without giving any attention to it. And as the Omer, Amen Yisayma, you bonav Yisayma. If Chas Hashem, a person says an Amen without knowing what he's saying Amen on, Chas Hashem, his children will be Yisayma. That means Cholila, that he's going to pass away. Hatufa, if you say Agechapta Amen without emphasizing the Aleph, Yitzchat for Yomav, Chas Hashem, your days will be tzachat, which means Chas Hashem, the person will pass away early. Same thing, Ketufa, Yitzchat for Yomav, his days will be cut off prematurely. Ketufa, remember, means that he didn't pronounce the nun, he just said Amen. V'cholamad v'yomim, ma'arichim le'yom v'shnei, so whoever says Alang Amen, then he gets Arichas Yomim v'shon. This seems to be at odds with the Gemara that we started off with a few lines ago, that said that whoever is Marech v'Amen, is Einei Ela Toyer. So if you look at the Toysis asks this Kasha, the Toysis about 1, 2, 3, 3rd Toysis on the Omud, towards the bottom of the Omud, it says, Kalamach Amen, Ubavach V'yarach Yerushim Midai, but not more than is necessary. The Tamil, if he should increase Hateva Kimashmoa, Kishu Marach Yerushim Midai, If you say ah, or you say amen, you can't even figure out that the person is saying amen because he's just being marach too long. So a little bit longer is good. That's merichah yom shnoitzav. However, if you're being marach in a crazy fashion, that already makes no sense. It's einay ela toy. So two more bites. Rav and Shmuel Aviyasra Suzas. Rav and Shmuel were eating together. Suda Osar Rav Simi Bar Chia Hakam Besarad Liyachem. Rav Simi Bar Chia wanted to join Rav and Shmuel, and he wanted to be Mashlim 3 for Zimun. The word Kamasarav over here means he was Mimaher. He tried to eat quickly so that he could be the star to make a Zimun out of 3. Omli Rav. So Rav said to him, Adatach, it's Terufi Badon. You want to go and join the two of us and make a Zimun? Too late, and anachimulam, we're finished. Since we're finished, and you're only starting, there was no overlap, we cannot make zimun. Amrei Shmuel, for Shmuel said to Rav, I respectfully disagree. Even maisili ardelaya, the grizlaya li abba, mili achlinan, if they would bring for me ardelaya. Ardelaya explains Rashi means kamein upitriar. Kamein upitriar means mushrooms. Mushrooms means, says Shmuel, I like mushrooms for dessert. The grizzlaya, grizzlaya means young grizzlas, young pigeons, maybe like fricassee or something like that. If they would bring me mushrooms now, or if they brought young pigeons to Abba, Abba is referring to Rav, because the Gemara elsewhere calls Abba, Abba Richa. So bottom line is, says the Gemara, if they would bring me this for a comfort, for dessert, or give the grizzlaya to Abba for dessert, Bilu Yachlinan, wouldn't we go and eat? Of course we would eat. So in other words, even though we think we are finished with a meal, if the host or hostess were to go and bring some more food to the table, we would eat. So it's still considered to be part of the meal. And yes, Rav Simi Bar Chia can join us and can participate in Zimun. Says the Gemara, Talmidim Rav Aviyasra Sudasa, the Talmidim of Rav were sitting together. Suda Ol Rav Acha. Rav Acha came in. He came in late. And he joined them. And Amri, they said, Osa Gabar Rav Devorachon, oh, will be Mechavad Rav Acha, that he should be the Mevorach, he should be the one that says Raboisai as part of the Zimun. Omelhus Rav Acha said to them, Misavrisa, the Gordel Mevorach, you think that this is a din that the Gordel has to be Mevorach? Ikka should be Suda Mevorach. Those people that were there at the beginning of the Suda, they should be Mevorach, because after all, Yich Ben Noatziki Kimena, I only joined late. So you should give those that have been here ready for the last half hour or whoever they are at the beginning of the Suda. However, the Gemara Hilchos Aloch is not like that. Gadol Mevorech, that even a person who is late, if he is a Gadol, if he's recognized as being, you know, the preeminent Talmid Chacham among them, then Avogav the Oslo B'Sleif. Even if he comes late, it makes no difference. He's mechabed him for Zimun. So therefore, Rav Acha, one could be mechabed him even though he came later than everybody else. Okay, with this we've concluded these Gemaras, and now we go back to explaining the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah, we said that if a person ate a whole bunch of items that seem somewhat questionable, nevertheless, you can go and make Zimun. And the Gemara goes through the Mishnah first, enumerates a whole bunch of questionable items, and now the Gemara is going to discuss in which respect are they in fact questionable. It's the Gemara. Hochel demai. What happens if he ate demai? Says the Mishnah, make Zimun. Frey demara lekachazile. It's not roi, you're not going to eat demai. And so therefore it's like a mitzvah bo baveda. How can you go make a zimun on something which you're not allowed to eat? Are you allowed to go and eat chazer? Can you imagine if a person makes a broch on eating chazer? It's a boitzea beirech nieitz Hashem. Person makes a broch on a dvar isur. It's as if he is chas Hashem, he's rebelling against the Kodesh Baruch. Well, what type of thing is this? Making zimun on demai? No, it is roi for him after all. Since he could be masked in the chasim, vavi oni in chas shalom, he would be a poor person. Because he lay, and then it would be roi. Now we learned in the Mishnah, machim es aniyim demai v'esachsanya demai, that halacha is that you can give to aniyim to eat demai or to achsanya. Achsanya is referring to, Rashi says, chayu shel melech shomatul al bneihu ir lezoinim b'shum l'mochamta. What Rashi said, what we just repeated, is that although the Chachamim said that when a person gets tevuah or peiros from an amoret, he has to go and give meiser, However, that's considered to be a chumra ba'alma. Why is it a chumra? Because roiv aniyim, I'm sorry, roiv amaratzim, roiv amaratz ma'asrin hay. Most of the amaratzim did give ma'asrin. It was a chumra. I don't know what the amount of the roiv is, but it sounds like, you know, 75 or 80 or 90% gave ma'asrin. It was just that there was a distinctive minority that didn't, the 5 or 10 or 20%, and therefore the chum made that takanim. But they made an exception to the tzakana. Tzakana number one exception is if it's an oni, that you can go and give an oni demai, and you don't have to give, again, maiser. And if you have an echsani, echsani means the soldiers of the melech is staying in your community for a short period of time. So the melech says, aha, who's going to support them? I don't want to support them. You guys support them. So the chum said that in such a case, you can give them demai. And the reason for that is, says Rashi, because even if these soldiers at home are wealthy, since they are traveling and they don't have any food, then they're considered to be aniyim. Whether the echsanya that we're talking about is goyim or yisraelim, that's the second choices from the bottom of the Amud, where choices in fact brings two separate vishayim, or two separate pshatim. The first pshat is, we're talking about echsanya she yisrael, and you can only give them demai, but you could not give them tevo, because chas v'shalom, give them tevo, you're being machshel them, with a isser of misa b'day shemoyim. And even if you're talking about achtan yishol nochrim of goyim, where being machshel them with tevo doesn't apply, however, you are being nichshel yourself, because you're not giving the koyin his mumminess. Every koyin is entitled to get his 1 out of 40, 1 out of 50, 1 out of 60, from the tevel. So if you feed tevel to goyim, even though you're not machshul them in the sense of being oiver and isser of eating tevel, but you are stealing from the kahanim that are entitled to go and get their portion. Anyway, bottom line is, since this person could be mafke his nechasim, the chacham said under such circumstances that he is at least ro'oi to be in the parish of Zimun, and therefore he can be mitzarif to Zimun after all, even if he's not Mafkes Nechosim. Now this is the majority opinion, presumably that of Beis Hillel. However, Yom Rav Huna, Tana, Beis Shammai, Yom Ein Machmer Sanim, Beis Achsan Yedemai, Beis Shammai was Machmer and said you cannot do this. But apparently our mission doesn't follow Beis Shammai, but would follow Beis Hillel, or the majority opinion. Maaser Rishon Shalom to Truma, so it says in the Mishnah, if you ate Maaser Rishon, what Truma was given, no problem. The Chabad, if you give the Truma, so what's the issue? Now the Gemara assumes in the Havamina that we're talking about both Trumas. What means both Trumas? Let's do a quick Chazora of Inyonim of Trumas Amaisis. You happen to be a farmer, and you just have your brand new crop, Baruch Hashem, everything is great, everything is wonderful, and now you would like to sell it, or you'd like to eat it. So, at the moment, it's called Tevel. To be able to go and eat from it, the first thing you have to do is you have to give your a portion called truma to the kohen. How much is that? Min atayr tzchita achas v'teres tzakri, and midrabanan, all you have to give is 1/40, 1/50, or 1/60. Let's assume 1/50, it means 2%. Okay. And then what you have to do is you have to give 10% to the levy. So if you started off with 100 bushels, you deduct 2, you're down to 98. Now you have to go and give 10% to the levy, that's 9.8, so the levy receives 9.8. And then the levy in turn has to go and give a tenth of what he received to the kohen. That's called trumas meisim, meisim and a meisim. So from 9.8, he's going to have to give 0.98. Okay, zayah fine. So now, hamishta poshet means that the maaser rishon, number one, that was from maaser, the truma gedolah was given first, before the maaser rishon. And number two, that the levy gave trumas meiser to the kohen, so therefore all the trumas were given from this maaser rishon. So if that's the case, pshita nuch. So there's no problem in eating the maaser rishon. What's the question? Let's talk about a situation where the levy came first and beat the kohen to the farmer's door, and he asked for his meiser first. Now what the farmer could have done is said, I want to wait for the kohen to come. But he didn't do that. But rather he gave the levy his chedik first. So out of 100 bushels, instead of giving him the 9.8, he gave him a full 10. 10%. Now, whether or not that's proper or not proper, we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, that at this point, the Levi has succeeded in the sense that he does not have to go and give Truma Gedoyla from the Tzvua that he has received. The Gemara is going to bring a Rai from a Pasuk for that. Now, Bishibolim means when he came to take his Meiser, all of the Tzvua was still in bundles. It had not been processed yet. It was still in its original stalks, and no one had processed it yet into grain. In such a situation, when you receive Masa Risha Bishibolim, and the Levi Tifshimena Trumas Meiser, so he did his thing that he gave 10% to Trumas Meiser, but Levi Tifshimena Trumas Doyla, he didn't give Trumas Doyla, that is acceptable for purposes of Zimun. Since you came early in the process of the Tua, in that it has not been processed yet into final Dagan, into grain, it's still early. How do I know your potash? That when the Levi gets his Meiser Rishon, he has to go and separate Trumas Hashem, Truma for the Koyin. That's called Trumas Meiser 10%. So if you, the Levi, received Meiser Rishon Bishivolim, you only have to go and be Mafrish Trumas Meiser. You don't have to be Mafrish the Truma Gedoyim. Okay. Why do you go and say that this halacha only applies to Egdima Bishibolim? Why don't you say that same halacha applies even if Egdimoi Bikri? Bikri means that in fact the Tua has been processed. It's no longer Bishibolim. Bishibolim means in stalks or in bundles. But now it's Bikri. That means after the Miruach. It's been put nicely in a nice heap and it's all been smoothed out. Where Kuli Alma Moide, at this point, it's Mechuyid and true Megzor. So it says, Rapapa Devaya, why don't you say he came Bikri Nami? Darsh in the same Pasik. But in Moise, Mener Tumas Hashem Maasem and Amaser, that if the Levi came and took his Maser Rishoin first, before the Kohen received his Truma Gedoyla, that all the Levi has to do is give Maasem and Amaser, Maar Tidachal, Valay Truma Gedoyla, Trumas Maasem and Amaser. Amalei, he told him, Lech HaMakrov. About you, it says another pasuk, first day in pasuk, Mikol Masri Seichem Terimu Eis Kol Trumas Hashem. And from that Eis Kol Trumas Hashem comes to tell you all the different types of trumas, meaning both the trumas, Truma Gdoyla, and the Trumas Meiser. So Kum Zachois, there's a major difference now between when the Levi comes early, Bishibolim, or if he comes early, Bikri. If he comes early, Bishibolim, he does not have to be mafresh Truma Gedoyla from what he receives. However, if he takes a Bikri, he does have to give Truma Gedoyla. Right, Timora, Umar Isa, how do you distinguish between the Shibolim case and the Kri case? It's true you have two psukim. One pasuk says, Masa na Masa, Marta lechov, loy Truma Gedoyla, Trumas Meisim, and a Meisim, don't give Truma Gedoyla. And then I have the other part in the Komasar Seichem Tezreimu, Eis Kol Truma Hashem, that you do have to give Truma Gedoyla. Why do you say this is talking about Bishibolim? This is Bikri. Hefshev HaKet. Maybe this is talking about Bikri. And this is talking about Bishibolim. If it's Bikri, then it's called Dogon. Dogon means grain. If it's Bishibolim, it's not grain. It's still stalks of wheat. And the Torah is Machayiv Truma by Reishis Digoncha Tirosh Chaviyatarecha. Reishis Digoncha, it's got to be Dogon. Therefore, once it's Bikri, it has the status of Dogon, then make sure to go and give your Truma Gedoyla. Like it says the Mishnah, Maaseh Sheni v'Hegdish Shenivtel. If a person is eating Maaseh Sheni or Hegdish, that you are poison. Then, no problem, you can be Mitzarif Lezimun. You did what you're supposed to. You're supposed to be part of the Maaseh Sheni. You're supposed to be part of the Hegdish, and fine. Remember, we're talking about eating Maaseh Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. So if you want to eat outside Yerushalayim, then you have to be poisoned. Okay, she was poisoned, so what's the problem? Every Malkam Iskinik and Goyin Shinosan Esakem Lenosan Slechaymish. Hitaka was poisoned dollar for dollar, the amount that it was worth. However, he didn't add the Chamishisa Yosef Olach. Look is the Gabay Masa Sheni, just like you have by different forms of Hegdish. like the Torah enumerates, that when you are being poisoned, especially if it's the balam that's being poisoned, then not only do you have to poison it dollar for dollar, but you have to add a fifth, which is really a quarter. Chaimish b'levar, and pervia melagav. Anyway, the point is you do have to add, and he didn't. All he did was to do dollar for dollar. So if he had, for instance, $10,000 worth of Masa Sheni, he didn't want to schlep it all to Yerushalayim. He was poisoned for $10,000. He should have been moist of a chaimish, but he wasn't. That even though you didn't add the chaimish to the Masa Sheni, or for that matter to the Hegdish, it's not ma'akeh, and you can be mitzdarev l'zimun. You still have a chiyuv to give that chaimish. But if you didn't, it's not ma'akeh for the purpose of zimun. Hashamash ochel kazayis. Hashamash that ate kazayis pshita. Why shouldn't he be able to mitzdarev? He's a Jew like anybody else. The same Shamas Lekava Kamashlon. I would think that a Shamas cannot be Kaveas Uda. By definition, he's running around. He's not sitting at the table with you. So maybe that's not a Kaveas Zimun Kamashlon, but it is a Kaveas after all. Vakusim Zaman Ola Fregimor Amailo Yehei Ella Amoret. He had the Gemara a few days ago. The Talmud Chacham should not sit together with Amoret. Of course, that's Dovah Gnat. If you remember, we had this on the bottom of Mem Gimel Omid Beis, about five lines before the wide lines, it says Tan Rabbana Shisha Dvarim Gnailo Tamid Chacham. And then on the third line of that verse, it says Val Yesiv B'Chabur Shal Amaret. Don't sit together with Amaratim. And the Gemara says the reason is Dama Asim Im Shuchi Basrayim. If you sit with Amaratim, then Chas Hashom you might be Nimshach Mitkishlev with those Amaratim to talk about and to think about like Amaratim think about things. In other words, they don't learn, but rather they occupy themselves with frivolous matters. Okay, so you're not supposed to sit with a tamcha, with an amart. Why does it say that you are mezamen with a kusi? The assumption is that a kusi is an amaret. As we'll see, there'll be a whole bunch of definitions of a kusi, but for our purposes, even assuming that kusim are geri emesim, they are considered to be amaratim because most of them did not perform, did not fulfill the mitzvahs d'rabbanim, only mitzvahs d'oraisa. So therefore, basically, the guy's amaret, he doesn't know about all the dinim d'rabbanim, so you don't sit with them. How could you start from the zimun? V'tanya, ein mezamen al amaret, so every kusi by definition, l'choyre is an amaret. By omar, the kusi chover. We're talking about an unusual situation. The kusi, in fact, is a tamat chokum, very, very rare, but if you have a kusi chover, you can be mitzdaris and lezimun. Rav Amar fin the same kusi amaret. Talking about a regular kusi amaret. Aye, to have him mitzdaris, hach ma amaret, the rabbanon, the pligalei, the meyer, askinan. We're talking about an amaret as defined by the rabbanon. What do you mean as defined by the rabbanon? Because as we'll see momentarily, the rabbanon argue in the following brayta with the meyer, the sanya, ezeu, amaret. How do you define the word amaret? Kosha ain't an oichel chula b'tahara. A person is not makbet to eat his chulin b'tahara. What does that mean? Because in all circumstances, when you're talking about truma and kodshim, that of course you have to eat b'tahara. But in the times of Chazal, a talmud chacham, a chover, was makbet to eat his chulin b'tahara, so that everything that he ate was always on the highest level. He didn't have to have, you know, three sets of dishes, one for mukis, one for fleishiks, and one specially for kodshim. But rather, Kodshim, everything that he ate at home was on the highest level of Kedusha B'Tahara. So if he was a Kohen, it was on B'chinas Truma. If he lived in Yerushalayim, it was on the same level as Kodshim, etc. But Amoret, he was not makbet on this. That's the definition of Amoret, Dibrameh. Whoever doesn't give proper Maisa, in other words, when he does it in a haphazard, inappropriate manner, and therefore he probably doesn't give the correct amount, he just does it by an estimate as opposed to really counting it up and measuring it, and that's called an amart. So Timur Vahani Kusoi, the Kusim Asuri Ma'asri, they are makben on Maisa, Kidchozi, like you're supposed to. In other words, they do give Maises appropriately. Why? To be Maises, to be a Raisim is a Ziri. That then says the Feish and the Torah that they are very careful about. Timur Ma'ak, Mitzvah Shechzikin Bo Kusim. Any mitzvah that the kusim took upon themselves, how did the medaktik come by Yosim Yisrael? The medaktik even more than Klal Yisrael. Sounds hard to believe, but Klal Yisrael has all of the mitzvahs of Rabbanan. They don't follow any of the mitzvahs of Rabbanan, so the mitzvahs of the Araisa, they go and do appropriately, and to some of them they even do more than we do. When it says in the, when I was younger, we always had the shaila, whether it's called mitzvah shechzikah v'kusim harbe medakting by yoysim Yisrael, or called mitzvah shechzikah v'kusim harbe medakting by yoysim Yisrael. So someone told me it's got to be that shechzikah v'kusim harbe medaktikim, because if you're talking about many kusim, it would say called mitzvah shechzikah v'kusim rabim, not kusim harbe. The word harbe is an adverb that is modifying the verb medaktikim ba. So therefore, komitzah shechlika b'kusim kama har medaktim bo yoyizim yisrael, even makbid more than a klal yisrael, a regular yid, that are so medaktik in mitzvahs, on mitzvah d'oraita. So therefore, since the definition according to the chachamim of an am ha'aretz is someone who's not ma'asa pereis of kera'oi, and since the kusim are medaktik to go and be ma'asa pereis of kera'oi, and that's one of those mitzvahs, that the medaktik bo yoyizim yisrael, that's why you can be mitzaref even a kusi amaretz, because he's amaretz legabe shar dvarim, but legabe the inyan of gimaiser, there he does it correctly. And the chachamim say that the definition of amaretz is koshen ma'aser peros keroy, and he is ma'aser peros keroy. So therefore, he's not an amaretz, even though he may be an amaretz in many other realms of Torah. Now we can have a braisa where we can have another four or five definitions. They say, "Amaretz kosheina kreda krishma arvis v'shachris." What's the definition of amaretz? Someone who doesn't go and lane krishma in the morning and in the evening, or in the evening and the morning. Divrei Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Shua Omer kosheina meniach tefillin. Whoever doesn't put on tefillin on a regular basis. And as the Omer kosheina sits at the big day, he walks around without tzitzit. And not that Omer kosheina mezuzah al pitzchi. He doesn't have a mezuzah. He has children and he doesn't go and send them to yeshiva to go and learn. Achirim say that even if he learned, karim means like mikra, shana means medrash, shnayus, v'yeshiva tamid chom, however, if he was not v'shamish v'cham v'chacham, harizeh am ha'aret. Now, first of all, we have to understand, when we say achirim oimrim, what does that Achirim tell us? Didn't we learn that Achirim is Sam as Rameir? And now he's talking about Achirim. Rameir already said before that the definition of Ramaoritz is Koshein Oichlechulav V'Tahara. And now you're telling me Achirim says Afilakar V'Shonu V'Shim V'Shonu V'Shonu. So it seemed to be a Stira Rameir in Rameir. Anyway, if you look at Maseres Tashas, he points out that back in that test Amid Beis, we were ready faced with this issue when you find the Chayim Oimrim after you have Rameh. Hayin Shom and Toys Tes Om Medbeis. Beginning back to our Gemara now, what means by Shimish Tamid Chacham? Explains Rashi that Shimish Tamid Chacham is the equivalent of Gemara that we learn today. That although the person learned, for instance, he's a Baki in Mishnayis, he knows Mishnayis is Baal Peh, he got the award of being the first Mishnayis Baal Peh in the Mishnayis Baal Peh contest. However, when it comes to Gemara, he never learned Gemara. Now, what means never learned Gemara? So Rashi says, "Vayishimish Tamid Chacham" means that when the Tamid Chachamim were together in the Smedish and were being mefalpul one with the other, what's pshat in the Mishnah? He never participated in those types of discussions, and therefore he's basically an Amaret because you cannot paskin from a Mishnah. Aha. So that's the definition. How is the Amart? Still the Amart yet, first of all, Amar Bun Aluch Yachim. That's like Aluch of Echirim, that way Shemesh Tamid Chacham. So based on this, the Amart tells us, Rami Bachama, Lei Azmin Alei, that a Menashe Bar Tachlifa, that Rami Bar Chama made Seudois, he made from time to time dinners or parties or whatever, and he did not invite Menashe Bar Tachlifa. Why? The Tani, Sifra, the Sifri, the Hilchasa. The Menashe Bar Tachlifa was a great Talmud Chacham. He knew the Sifra, he knew the Sifri, and he knew Hilchasa. Sifra is also referred to as Sifra de Beirav. That's a Medrash Halacha on Sefer VeYikra. Sifri is on the Midrash and Devarim. The reason why it's called Sifri, really it's Sifrei, which is referring to two Svarim, because as opposed to Sifra, which is only on VeYikra, on Shmoyis you have Mechilta, on VeYikra you have Sifra, And on the Midbar and Devarim, you have Sifrei, which covers both the Midbar and Devarim. That's why it's Sifrei, Beloshon Rabim. And those are all Midrashim, but not like Medrash Rabba and Medrash Tanchuma, which are mainly, quote-unquote, drushes and stories. But rather, Sifra, Sifrei, Mechilta are Medrash Halacha, which tells us Halacha, and many of those Sifra, Sifrei, and Mechiltas are quoted extensively in the Gemara. Anyway, what's the Hilchah say? Hilchah is referring to the Mishnayos. This is what we had at the very end, the Masechtas Nida, that you have to be showing halachas b'kol yayin. That's referring to Mishnayos. So, the Menashe bar Tachlifa knew all of that. However, apparently, he was not Mishamish Talmidei Chacham. So therefore, Rabbi Bachama said, I'm not going to go be Mechavadim. Ki Nachnafshe Dram Bachama, Rabbi Bachama passed away. Omer Rabbi Nachnafshe Rabbi Bachama. You know why Rabbi Bachama passed away so early in life? He passed away prematurely. Because he never invited the Menashe bar Tachlifa to join him for Zimon. So Rami Bachama did the right thing. He just followed what the Achirim said. And remember, we said, so why is Rami Bachama being punished? Now, this mashma doesn't mean that he listened to the Rabbanim, but Rashi says mashma means the mishamish lul Rabbanim. In fact, he was mishamish lul Rabbanim after all. Ah, you said he was a mishamish. Rabbi Bachama did not follow and did not investigate carefully. Had he investigated carefully, he would have determined that in fact Rabbi Bachama was mishamish after all, and he would have included him in Zimun. That although he did not participate in the discussions among the Rabbana when they were mafalpo in the halacha regarding the Mishnayos, however, he would come to the conclusion, he would listen to what the Rabbanim decided at the end. In other words, extensive machoikis in the Bismedish between this Amoira and that Amoira, and although he did not participate in those discussions, however, he did find out what the conclusion was, the Kodesh Lahu, and he would go in Chazarit, and he would commit it to memory. Therefore, he is considered to be a Talmud Chacham after all. However, he, Rami Bachama, did not know that. Therefore, either for the first reason that he was Mishamish Talmud Chacham, or according to the second version, that even though he was not Mishamish, but he still knew the Halacha based on getting all the Piske Halacha from the Chacham, therefore he would have merited to join in Zimun. Rami Bachama was not Mechabinim. Therefore, Rami Bachama unfortunately passed away prematurely. Were Barry here, he would add that Rami Bachama was the Edom of Rav Chizda, and after Rami Bachama passed away, the daughter of Rav Chizda married Rava. That's based on another Gemara where Rav Chizda was holding his daughter on his lap, and Rami Bachama and Rava were there, and he asked her who would she like to marry when she gets older, and the young daughter of Rav Chizda said, I'd like to marry both of them. And in fact, and then Rava said, I'm going to be the later one, or the latter one. And in fact, she ultimately married both Rami Bachama and then Rava sequentially. Therefore, Rava said, the former Edom of my Shver, that being Rami Bachama, passed away, he would have still been around had it not been for this story of the Menashe bar Tachlifa. Okay, those are all the cases where the Mishnah said in the Reisha that you can be Mitzara for the Zimun. But now we have a whole bunch of cases where you cannot be mitzvah from Zimun. Zot Yimara Ochel Tevel Meiser, a person who ate Tevel, or, yes, Tevel, or Meiser Sheni, I'm sorry, or Meiser Rishon, where the Truma was not given. So first we focus on the Tevel. If you ate Tevel, you cannot participate in Zimun. Zot Yimara Tevel Pshit, of course you cannot participate in Zimun. It's a chamitzel bov aveda, you're not allowed to eat Tevel. Chuli lebechad. What's even the halamin? Chadol Pashit. We're talking about not Tevel Yerayis, it's Tevel Midraban. What means Tevel Midraban? That the grain or the peiros are growing out of a flower pot that did not have a hole. If it did have a hole, then that's considered to receiving nourishment from the ground below. However, if there's no hole, it's not receiving that nourishment. Minatayra, it would be potter from giving to Mr. Mises from Midrabanan, you are chayv. That's why it says, Tevel Tevel Midraban. So that's the Chiddush, that even though it's only the Drabbanan, nevertheless, do not participate in Zimun, because you've been oiv the Drabbanan. Next case, Ma'aseh Rishon, Shalom not with Tumasai. So Timur Pshita, of course, if he didn't give the Tuma, then naturally the person should not be making Zimun. It's an Aveiri, not with Ma'aseh Rishon, that Tuma was not given. So Timur Mishrichi Ganshitim Vikri. Oh, this is the second half of that Gemara that we started off on the bottom of the Omid Aleph, and we ended off on the top here of the Omid Bay. That what? We're talking not about the Master, the Trumas Meister. About the lady gave Trumas Meister from his Master to the Kohen. However, no Truma Gedoyla was given prior to the giving of this Meister Rishai, and the lady did not give Truma Gedoyla from this Master. So the person, this lady, or whoever, Yisroel is allowed to eat Masrishon. I believe there's one man, the Yomar, the mayor, that holds that a non-Levi cannot eat Masrishon. But we hold that anybody can eat Masrishon, Koyim Levi Yisroel. So if I'm eating Masrishon, and the original Truma Gedoyla was not given, and this Masrishon was Mufrash, it was removed at the time that it was already Bikri, after the Miruach, then you have to give Truma Gedoyla. And if the original farmer didn't give, or the original seller didn't give, then the lady has to give Truma Gedoyla. Otherwise, he's eating Tevel Dikke Masrishon. He's of Imara, Pshita, Pshetach. If he didn't give the Masrishon, and it's Bikri, no, Pshetach, of course you have to. Remember the Gemara said on the top line, Mikol Masrishon Turimu Eis Kol Truma Sashem. That from this Masrishon, you have to give both Truma Smeiser and Truma Gedoyla. So of course he's not allowed to go and participate in Zimun. Every Mamad is saying, Yom Leir HaPapa Liyabaya. I would have thought like the Papa asked the Baya. That's the last line of Mem Zayin Omer Aleph. If you turn back to the Omer Aleph, you see the last line. That the Papa said to Baya. Just like we say that if a person, if a lady got his Maaser Rishon B'Shibolim, he does not have to go and give Truma Gedoyla, because it says in the Pasuk, Bari Moisim Yimene Truma Seshem, Maisim and a Maisim, Maisim and a Maisim, Maisim V'chol, V'loi Truma Gedoyla, Truma Maisim and a Maisim. So I would think the same thing should apply to Maisim that you got the Kri, not only B'Shibolim. So Ma'ad is saying, Yom Le'er Pabri Abai, Kamashim, Lom Kedishani Le'i, like the Teres that we gave at the top of the Amrud, that there's a difference between Kri and Shibolim, because here it says, Yom Ha'aser Teichem Terimu, Eitz Kol Truma Seshem. Once it's in the form of Kri, it has the status of Dagon. When the Torah says, Reishis Digoncha, Tiroishchem Yitzurelcha, Reishis Keitzoncha Titanloi, that you have to give the Kohen his portion. Okay, then it says in the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni, Shaloi Nivdu. If you weren't poison them and you eat them outside Yerushalayim, particularly by the Master Sheni, Hegdish, even in Yerushalayim, but you have to be poison. Otherwise, if you're not poison, Hegdish, you're being loyal. It belongs to the Rebbeinu. Maaseh Sheni outside Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat if it's not nifta. So v'shteitzer, if you're eating poisoned Maaseh Sheni and Hegdish, poisoned in the sense that the person wasn't poisoned, of course you don't do Zimun. You cannot join in Zimun. It's like eating a piece of chazer. So Zimur Pshita, even though it says the Mishnah Shalai Nivdu, it means they were Nivdu but not Nivdu appropriately or halachically. How? Maaseh Sheni Gerosh Yepodi Al-Gavi At-Simon. Maaseh Sheni, that they were poison on a Madbeah that didn't have a Tzura, it didn't have an image minted onto the coin. So you're saying, so what? Rahman Omar, but Tzarta Kesa B'Yodcha. Tzarta Loshi Kesa. Sheesh Lop Tzura, it has to have an image. If it's just a blank coin, no good for Pidgin. Similarly, Hegdish, Shechil Al-Gavi Karka. The person was Mechalif instead of being Mechal on money. He was mechalit on the ground, on the earth. So yes, a pigeon was done both in the case of the Maaseh Sheni and the case of the Hegdish, but it was done improperly. That pigeon was not effective. Therefore, the person eats. He has no din of the mishtaritz to Zimun because he's eating posla goods, poison goods, but he's not supposed to be eating. V'shamish ochel pochaz v'kazayim. So Timur Pshita, once we said in the Reisha, the Shamas has to eat a kazayis. Of course, if he didn't eat kazayis, the Vashtaytzach, he cannot be mitzvahed. So Timur, you're right. It's just for uniformity in Lushin. I just said a Reisha kazayis, and then he's going to say for Pochas and kazayis. We just throw it in to kind of complete the circle. But you're right. I could have learned this halacha from the Reisha. Of course, it's a goy. He doesn't have the mitzvah of the zimun. He's not a full-fledged goy, but he's not a full-fledged yid. He's somewhere in between. It's like a benish mashin. How is it somewhere in between? Every ger requires mila and tvila. He had the mila, but he didn't have the tvila yet. So I might think, oh, is this a halbi yid? Maybe we could be mitzvah with him. Yom Rav Zeng, Yom Rav Yochanan. Oilam ena ger, ad she'imol v'yidfa. Comes way tov al nachri, as long as he hasn't tovul yet, he's still a goy. And therefore, when the Mishnah says v'nachri, means as a halbi yid who has the halachic status of a goy. You cannot be mitzaref women or an eved or a cotton to zimun amr yoisi or amr vasi. Cotton amutu baris, if you have a cotton who's in the crib, mitzaman all of you can be mitzaref. Pray to over tonight, we just said. Nosha vodu tzanim ein mitzaman aleim, and you tell me that you can be mitzaman. With yomak rabishua, then late, yomak rabishua, late, I'll pish amr cotton, what do I read? Ein mitzaman olav, avan oisan oisei snif la asara. When we just said now that you can't be mitzaref, that's a mitzaref to a zimun of three. But if you have nine people and you want to be mitzaref this cotton to number 10, you can be mitzaref into number 10. Remember, Shum and Levi, Tisha be Evan mitzaref. The same thing applies not only to a cotton, but even to an Evan. As we know, an Evan Kanani is a male and he has kol dinam ki isha, so he's a real halbeid, not like the Nochrish Mosley Tobal, who is a full-fledged goy, and Evid Kanani is a halveyig. He has all dinam ki'isha. Oh, so you have 9 plus 1. 2 plus 1, you're not mitzvah. 9 plus 1, you are mitzvah. Pray to Mora Zay, Mezve. Mazre Blaze Shinech Mezveta Knesset. The Blaze went to Shul, Limot HaSorah. And there were only 9 people. The Blaze owned an Evid, Shechar Alta. He was Meshachar his Evid. Now the Evid became Jewish, and now we have number 10. Mishpim HaSorah. Why do you have to be Meshachar? Shechar in lo shechar loy. Why didn't we just say that 9 and an Eved are mitzvah? Why do you have to go and free an Eved? So it's more to about Trey, it's Trich. Trey is Trich. There were only 8 Jews in Shul, and there were 2 Avodim. So what did he do? Shechar Chari is Meshachar 1, and now he has 9 Yidin plus 1 Eved. He left that 10th one as an Eved. So in other words, they didn't tell the whole story. When it said that he was Meshachar Avda, he's talking about that we already had 8 plus 1 that he was Meshachar, so now we have 9, and then he was Mitzaref and Eved. In other words, you can't be Mitzaref 2 Avodim, you can only be Mitzaref 1 Eved, that's why he had to Meshachar 1, and the 10th, the second Eved, he was Mitzaref to be number 10. How did you do that? I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Meshachar Avdai. I'm about to say you're not allowed to. Shenem al oyin lem taboydu. When you own an Eved Kanani, you have to hold on to him forever and ever. You're not going to be Meshachar. And the other bar mitzvah shani. He took the bar mitzvah. He wanted to make a minyan. Mitzvah baveri. How are you allowed to go and do a mitzvah based on an aveda being oyin lem taboydu? And the more mitzvah the rabim shani. It was just a private mitzvah of one individual. You're right. Don't call me Oyver and Aveda to be Makayim a mitzvah. But over here we're talking about the Mazaka 10 Jews, or at least 9 Jews, to go, or 8 Jews, to go and be able to daven mit aminyan, to go and say Shem Hashem. Perhaps it was someone that had to say Kaddish, whatever. So the point is, Dr. Gemara, mitzvah Rav, you are allowed to be Oyver this. Not an isur, you're allowed to be over the assay of the oil of the hand tabot. From Rabbi Shimon Levi, the oil of Yashim, other base of Knesset. Can they shiiska the yimne and masara her be shoin him? First, you should always try to be from the first 10 in shul. Shafilim may have boim achot, even subsequently. There's going to be a huge minion of 100 people. Kibel olav schar kulam, he's going to get the schar of all 100, or at least of the other 90 that came in after the first 10. Faith Yimara, come on, schar kulam, focus aitach. They don't get any schar. After all, they also came to shul. Why should he get everybody's schar? Of course they get schar. He is going to get an equal amount of schar like all the other 90 that came post the 10. Not that they're not going to get. They're going to get their schar. Whatever that amount of schar is, he's going to get that as well because he came in as one of the first 10. And now the Gemara says something startling. Omer Abuna, Tisha be Orin Mitzarfin. 9 plus 1 Orin can be Mitzarfin. Omer Abnachman, come on. The Orin Gavrahu, you need 10 people, not 9 plus an inanimate object like an Aron Kodesh. Really, the Aron is lav dafka. What we're saying is 9, you can also have a tziruf as if they're 10. When can you have the tziruf as if they're 10? Amrle, some say, kimachansi. After all, Rav Huna said, Tisha, Nirin Kasar. If the 9 have the appearance of 10, then it's stuck. What means the appearance? Amrle, kimachansi. When the 9 are all bunched together, for instance, all standing around the bima, so if a person is trying to count them, you know, he can get lost easily. And he said, no, yeah, it looks like 9, 10, yeah, 11, yeah, that looks like 10, like 10, boom. That's mitzarev. But otherwise, it's not mitzarev. The Amrle, the others say, boom, faker, kim the badri. If the 9 are spread out throughout the shul, one in this corner, one in that corner, one in the front, one in the back, here and there. Well, if you look around, it looks like you have a whole oilam. So even though there are only 9, if it's near in kasara, it's mitzar. Amrav Ami, shnayim the Shabbos mitzar. If two people on Friday night, the Shabbos day, are doing zimun, shnayim the Shabbos are mitzar. And again, Amrav Rav Nachman, the Shabbos kavru, is Shabbos a person that you can be mitzar. And Amrav Ami, what Rav Ami really meant was to forget about Shabbos, but Shnei Tamin Chom and Mechadim Zeh Zeh Valacha Mitzarfin. Two Tamin Chom and Mechadim Zeh Zeh, who sharpen each other's wits in Halacha, they are Mitzarf. And in fact, I was at a shiur this morning here in Miami, and one of the Talmidim at the shiur said that Shabbos, he heard, is Rosh Hashanah Shnei B'nai Torah. And that's Shnei B'nai Torah, that's the Shabbos that we're talking about in Mitzarev for the Din of Zimun. Now that sounds very nice. The only problem is that if that's Taka Emes of Shat, that Shnei B'nai Torah, then we have a problem, because that means you need 4 altogether. Because the Bami says Shnayim this Shabbos, and Shabbos is Shnei B'nai Torah, so it'd be 2 plus 2 would be 4. Maybe Pshat is Rav Ami says Shnayim. What type of Shnayim? Shnei B'nai Torah. Those are Mitzar. Okay, that's very nice. But now the question is, isn't there a din that you have to have 3? So one of the Mefarshim says that since we said in the Gemara yesterday or 2 days ago, that what happens if you have 100 women, even though they are potter, because of the fact that women are potter from Zimun, however, it's a Rishus, they can make Zimun if they want to. Didn't we say that 100 women are like 2 men? It's only a rishus. How can you go and be mitzarev to Zimun? So the Gemara says, because even though in terms of choiva, 100 women are like 2 men, that neither of them are mechuyev, but still when you have 100, you have deos. Deos means you have so many minds and bodies, so to speak, and therefore they can mekayim the mitzvah of Zimun. So they wanted to say that 2 tamei nechamah are so mechudot, each one of them can go and say a pshat, and they can go and argue back and forth with Tupul. He'll say the name of Abai, he'll say the name of Rabba, he'll go and give another svara, Rav and Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, Shlokish, and therefore the two add up in the deos as if they happen to be 3 or more. Okay, Mechvei Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda said, I'll give you an example, Kigren, I'm not for Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes and me, we would be the two that would qualify for this halacha. Rav Sheshes returned the compliment, if you will, and he said, yeah, Rav Sheshes and me, we could be mitzarev to Zimun. So Rav Chisda saying, but Rav Sheshes said about Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Yochanan, katan pireach mizamnen olav. What's my katan pireach? Look at the last Rashi. A katan shehevi simanim lebo lechlal shana. He's only 12 and a half, l'moshel. He's pireach. That means that the hairs sprouted early before he became a mitzvah. He has a status like of a mitzvah for purposes of Zimun. Tanya Mihochi, Kotan Shehevi, Shteisaris, Mizamdin Olav. Even though he's a Kotan, he has Shteisaris, Mizamdin. But Shehevi, Shteisaris, he's a Kotan without Shteisaris, and Mizamdin Olav. And now the Brisa says, a medactic in the Kotan. And we're not going to inspect, we're not going to check. Fake Gemara, what means you're not going to check? It means presumably you're not going to check whether he has Shteisaris. Hagufa Kasha, Hasta Chasira. Amrit, he started off the Brisa, he has Shteisaris in. Loi, hey, loi. If he has Shteisaris, he'd be Mitzaris. If he didn't have Shteisaris, he's not going to be Mitzaris. But if something in Mitzaris, you're not going to be Mitzaris, that means you're not going to check, then presume he doesn't have Shteisaris. If he doesn't have Shteisaris, then you can't be Mitzaris. What's going on? But tomorrow, Lasuye, you know what Mitzaris and Mitzaris means. Lasuye, love Lasuye. Cotton Perech. if you have a cotton pareach like we're talking about, that although he's only 12 and a half, however, he already hashed a saris, ain't medakni canola, we don't say, oh, you're not a mitzvah yet, but we will allow him to be mitzvah. As they learn to Rashi. The pshat in the Gemara web is a bit shver, because if all the in medaktikim is coming to add is that if you have a cotton who does not have shtei saris, that ain medaktikim olav and we're mitzvah him, nu do shtei tachshon in the beginning of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, cotton peirech, no, not Rabbi Yochanan. It's the brighter. Tanya mihochi, cotton shehevi shtei saris, mezamun olav. So, and you're telling me, the case of ain medaktikim the cotton is a cotton peirech, where it's a cotton so it already says Mazaman and Olive. Why does the Braisa repeat it in the Sefer? And therefore the top Tosis here on Mem Ches Omer Aleph, which is, as you can see, it's quite a lengthy Tosis, says, I disagree with Rashi. And therefore, instead he says, if you look on the fourth line, what means the cotton perech? Yishloim et koya cotton perech, claim a cotton perech, Mazaman and Olive, hainu dafke, hayudeh, lemim, mavorchen, v'tavai, v'inan, ul pirishenu, no, it's not this. Not this one. Which Toysis is it? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's look back on the Toysis. Mem Zion on the day. The Toysis says, Peter Shrash, Jabish takes Aris, but I'm the Gili Gimachanim. Going to hear a Dimkena, my Omer Bissamach, Lassi, a cotton perech. Haina Shahibish takes Aris, defending the rights of the Hedya. It already said the Fadish in the rights. Al Korach, Peter Shabin Hanan, will cut the perech, but Tarshi to Gimachanim, but I'm the Havish takes Aris, you do it. Shainin Gedoidus, Kade Lokov, Roshan, the Ikra. Back in Mestechus Nida, when we talk about Shtei Saris, the Gemara said that the shear has to be that you can go, that the length or the height of those Shtei Saris is such that you could bend it over so that the end of the hair could then be bent over to touch the root of the hair where it's coming out of the body of this cotton. And here we're talking about its Pireach, says Rashi, from Sestoises, Sheporuchu Vitzamchu Bei Saris, Aba Enin Gedoi Vitzkola Shear. It was only half of that shear. It wasn't the shear that you can go and bend it over. Zok the Brayis of Amy Dakti Kimadova, the cotton poireach, even though it's not full-fledged, valid, effective hairs, it's still kosher for these purposes for Zimun. Anyway, so we had a whole bunch of halachas referring to the cotton, when the cotton is still ba'arisa, still in its crib, or if the cotton is poireach, Zok the Mabla Silchus of Kechol Hanishmaitse. That's not the halacha. Avakihod Yom Rav Nachman. Cotton Hayudeh Lemim Mavorchen Mizamnin Olav. If you have a cotton who knows what's going on, you can be Mizamnin Olav, you can be Mizarif him to Zimun. I think Mar Taka told us a story of Abaye v'Rava. Havayasi Kami de Rabba. They were still children, and they were sitting in front of Rabba. Omlu Rabba, and Rabba said to both of them, Lemim Mavorchen, when we say Birchas Hamozain, when we make a bracha, who are we thanking? Amrile, and they said to him, Lerachmana, oh, to the Rabbanu Shalom. Freit, Rabba, Rachmana, Hechi Yosef, where is the Rabbanu Shalom? Rabba Achli, Rishmeit Lok. So Rabba pointed to the ceiling, as if to say, the Rabbanu Shalom is up above. Abaye said, no. Abaye Nafik Lepra, he opened the door and he went outside, and Achli Chlam Yishmayim, and he pointed all the way to the Shemayim. So of course, Abaye and Rabba both doing the same thing. Rabba was inside and Abaye was outside, but both of them were pointing towards the heavens. Rabba said about both of them, Travayichu Rabbanan Havisa. Both of you, when you grow up, you're going to be Groyser Rabbanan Groyser Tamil Chacham. Hayad Yamar Inshin, that's the expression that people say, Butzit, Butzin, Butzin. Butzin means pumpkins. Pumpkins, Mikat the Yadia. You can already tell whether this is going to be a nice, beautiful pumpkin from the time of its sap. Kate is from Russian Kitav, and checked up, right? Sorry about Siporin. So it says about that in the Sambamonim, it says, Atsiaktov means those trees that have sap. So you can tell a pumpkin already from the sap, which is an expression which really means when it's still very, 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 very small in its infant stage, you can already tell that this is going to be a good or a bad pumpkin. Same thing is, these children, Abaye v'Rava, since they were so intelligent that they knew that benching means that you bench to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you point heavenward, they are going to be great Amit Chacham. So therefore, from that age and on, you can be Mitzdarsa. And what Saka Halacha Lemaisa? So if you look up Shulchan Aruch, it's a machloikis mechaber and ramah, where the mechaber says that you mistarif a cotton who is a bardas. How much is a bardas? So the Mishnah Brewer brings one shita that he's already twice 10 or 11, 11 or 12. And then he brings another shita that as long, even if they're only 5 or 6 or 7, if he knows the min mavarachin, you can mistarif just like our case in the Gemara, even a young child who's still immature, if he knows who you're being mavarach, so you can be mistarif up to Zimun. However, the Ramah says that we're not noig that way. We, the Ashkenazim, are noig only if you have three gedayim. So I'm told that among the Sephardim, they are mistarif even today, two gedayim plus one cotton that already knows what's going on in the world, meaning that he knows the meme of Achim. In fact, Runny Samuel, one of our distinguished members in Shul, told me that recently he was together at a Suda, at a dinner, what have you, and there were two gedolim, and I think he said about his own son, who was a cotton. They asked him, "Nunu, who are we benching to?" And he said, "To Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh, you are a bardas, we're mitzarif you to Zimun," and they made a Zimun based on that. And Rani, of course, is one of our distinguished family members of the Eidot HaMizrach, and therefore the halacha of the mechaber applies to him. However, regarding the Ashkenazim, we have to follow the Ramah. I guess you can ask, what would happen if you have two Ashkenazim and one Sephardish boy? Can you be mitzaref? Since like the mechaber, you can be mitzaref. What would the Ramah hold under those circumstances? Presumably, he would not permit it. Anyway, you could have to now forget the Shabbat. What happens if you have two Sephardim and you have one Ashkenaz young boy? Since the Ashkenazim don't permit it, can the Sephardi go be mitzarefim? Okay, these are interesting questions you can ask your own local competent Orthodox rabbi. Okay, Rabbi, have a wonderful day. Yizhar kevenched, hatzlocha rabbah.